Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hey there, welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. My name is, you guessed it, Gary Zimak. Glad to have you along. We're going to be here for the next 30 minutes as this week we look at the Mass readings for the second Sunday of Advent. Yes, believe it or not, we are already in the second Sunday of Advent. Isn't it amazing how this happens? Advent is 26 days. There's 26 days in Advent this year. There are four Sundays in Advent. And we're already at the second Sunday. And you know, the message last week was stay awake, get ready, you know, get ready, stay awake. This week, the message is, it's really the next message after stay awake, prepare the way of the Lord. In other words, he's coming, get ready. Now that you're awake, prepare. He's coming. Let's get busy. So we're going to focus this week, at least in the gospel, on the words of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, his job was to call attention or to precede the Messiah, to say he's coming, the one you're waiting for, he is coming. Imagine how exciting that must have been for the people at the time. They probably didn't know what to expect. They knew that a Messiah was coming, but maybe many of them didn't expect it in their lifetime, so it really was an exciting time. So in a similar way, the words of John the Baptist are called to or should inspire us to prepare. That reminder, December 25th, whether you're ready or not, that date is coming. And, you know, as opposed to preparing for Christmas, we are called as Christians to prepare for the coming of Christ, to prepare during the Advent season to welcome Jesus, not just to make sure we have Christmas presents bought and we're ready for Christmas, but to prepare for the coming of Jesus. And that is so challenging, except in this year, this crazy year of 2020, this is one for the record books, right? We've never seen some of the craziness like we've seen this year with the pandemic. But in a sense, what it does is it frees us up. There are a lot less parties going on this year, a lot less preparation for Christmas. You know, a lot of people shopping online. We're avoiding a lot of the traps that we fall into each year. We're actually being helped to do it. We might not want to do it, but I think this provides a great opportunity for us. It allows us to focus on preparing for Christ. And, you know, not to scare you, but look, we've been hearing the end times message for the past couple of weeks. This is not going to catch you by surprise, but it's really something to think about. None of us know if we're ever going to have another Advent. This might be the last chance to prepare during the Advent season before we meet Christ face to face. You know, we just don't know. So what that does, at least in my mind, hopefully in yours as well, is it gives me a sense of urgency. I want to take this Advent seriously. I want to do my best to prepare so that on December the 25th, I mean, that's my goal when I start this, on December the 25th, when I celebrate the birth of the Savior, I'm going to be closer to Jesus than I was when I started Advent. That's the goal. And, you know, that continually, even after Advent, what we want to do is continue to grow closer to Christ. But the Advent season gives us an extra intensity. It gives us a beginning and an end point so that we can really focus and have a concrete start and finish to working on growing closer to Christ. And I guarantee you this, if you make the effort to draw close to Christ, He's going to respond to your request, and you are going to get closer to Him. So together, let's do this. Let's go through the readings of the second week of Advent. Let's listen to the words of John the Baptist. Let's listen to what the Lord says to us through all of the readings. And let's get ready to go into this second week of Advent, you know, we've the week ahead, preparing to get closer to Christ. What can I do to prepare to welcome Him on December the 25th? That's what the focus will be today. I hope you had a wonderful week. I just want to let you know, I want to thank you. I have been getting responses when I've been asking for donations. I've been asking for monthly sponsors. And I have gotten several people who have gone to followingthetruth.com and signed up to help sponsor my work. I am incredibly grateful. If you would like to do that, if you'd like to help donate to keep my ministry going, times are tough because there is no speaking right now for those of us who do this full time. It's a challenge. You could do that just by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on donate. And if you're able to support my work monthly on a monthly basis, it would be so much appreciated. So it's followingthetruth.com. You can just go there to do it or to make a one-time donation. Whatever works for you is absolutely appreciated by me. You can take it to the bank. And whenever you do respond, I always try to send a personal note because this means a lot to me. You have no idea how powerful it is or how touching it is when I get these donations, when people really want to help me to spread the good news. It's always been difficult for me to ask, but it's something I realized a long time ago that I needed to do. If you're going to work in full-time ministry, you have to ask for help. So I, again, thank you very much for your donations, for your prayers, for your kind words, and for being here each week. That means a lot to me that you're able to hang out with me as we walk the road that leads to heaven. I mean, I don't know another way to put it. That's what we're doing. And especially during the Advent season, it's intensifying a little bit. We're really trying to get close to the Lord, get rid of some of the junk that keeps us separated from Him. And that's what we do here on the program. Okay. So without further ado, let's pray right now. Let's turn to our Father in heaven, ask for a few things that we need, give Him some praise, and also ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to descend upon us all today as we spend this time together. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for giving us this day. Thank you for bringing us to this moment in time. It would not be possible for me to speak these words or for any of us to be here unless you willed it, Father. So by your will, through your divine providence, we are here. You have provided for all of our needs from the moment we were conceived up until the present time. And for that, Father in heaven, we are so grateful. Father, we praise you today. We thank you for allowing us to get some small idea of just how powerful you are. So we praise you for your power. We recognize that you are almighty and that you are larger than any problem that we could ever encounter in our lives. So we turn to you with that in mind. We confidently ask for your help. With all of our needs, we lift up our family, our friends, all of our intentions. We place them in your ever so able hands, Father. We ask you to accept these problems from us and handle them in the best way possible. Father, we pray for peace in our country, in the world. We pray for everyone who is trying to get closer to your son Jesus through this Advent season to be able to do so. Help us to cast aside all of the distractions so we can focus on what really matters. And that's our relationship with you through your son Jesus. Father, I ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit on me today so I can speak the words that you have for us today, deliver the appropriate message. And also, Father, I ask you to open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to whatever it is that you have to say. Father, we ask these things in the most holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek, and you are listening to The Gary Zimek Show. We come to you each week, 30 minutes each week, and we look at the Mass readings. This week, we're taking the Sunday Mass readings, I should say. This week, we're going to be focusing on the readings for the second Sunday of Advent. So this is the second Sunday. We got four of them. So, you know, we're getting through this. It, you know, Advent's a funny season. It happens. It goes by very quickly. Unlike Lent, which seems to drag a little bit, Advent seems to fly by. So we want to really make the best use of our time. And I'm so glad you're able to spend this time with me. If you would like to find out more information about my work or maybe sign up for my daily free email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, you can visit my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. All right, as I do each week, I start off by looking at the gospel. The gospel leads the way. It's got a place of prominence according to the church. So we're going to first look at the gospel from the second Sunday of Advent. We go back to the beginning. This is the beginning of Mark's gospel. Now, just keep in mind, throughout Advent, the gospels, all of the readings are specifically chosen. They don't really follow in any sequential order. They're specifically chosen to guide us down this path to prepare during the Advent season. So they're chosen by the church to help us out. Today, we look at Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.' John the Baptist appeared in the desert, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People of the whole Judean countryside and all of the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey, and this is what he proclaimed: 'One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" So what we see here is John proclaiming what's called a baptism of repentance. This is not a sacramental baptism like you and I would receive where there's grace involved. This is a baptism of repentance. This is a preparation for the coming of Jesus. In other words, getting everybody ready. And everybody hearing John, they are being baptized by him in the Jordan River and acknowledging their sins. So they're essentially recognizing that they're sinners, that they need a Savior, and they're getting ready to encounter the true Messiah who will be coming. Now, what will happen is John will eventually end up losing all of his disciples. See, John knew his place. John didn't try to do more than God was calling him to do. John was the precursor, the forerunner for Jesus. He was the opening act, if you want to look at it that way. And he understood that, and he did it well. Once Jesus arrived on the scene, then John backed off, and he said that he must decrease. John must decrease so that Jesus can increase. It's a great example for all of us. You know, we're not called to be the star of the show. You and me, we're called to share Jesus with others. And we can all do that in some way. John's a great example for us. You've heard me say it before. It all starts by being nice, by loving one another. That's how it starts. We don't have to do anything complicated to start. That goes a long way. So John was a bit of a nut job, if you want to use a technical term. He was clothed in camel's hair. He had a leather belt around his waist. He lived in the desert. He fed on locusts and wild honey. He was kind of a weird guy. He was a character. And, you know, as such, I'm sure he really attracted the attention of his people. And he said, "One mightier than I is coming after me. Behold, and the gospel quotes the prophet Isaiah. We're going to hear a reference to that in the first reading. And Mark says, from Isaiah, remember the gospel, even the, not the gospel, the even the Old Testament contained references to Jesus. The writers of the Old Testament prophesied often about the Messiah. "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his path." That came from the prophet Isaiah. Mark is using that to point to John the Baptist. So essentially, Isaiah was talking about John the Baptist. And now here he is, the opening act for Jesus, saying to all of us, prepare. He's coming. You know, and that's what this season is about, preparation. What changes do I have to make to better welcome Jesus into my life? That's what Advent is about. The first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning in verse 1. Some of this is going to sound familiar. "Comfort. Give comfort to my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her service is at an end. Her guilt is expiated. Indeed, she has received from the hand of the Lord double for all her sins." Now, the message to the people at the time is that the Messiah is coming. What they didn't know is how long it would be. But that was the message. He's coming. "A voice cries out, in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord." See, does that sound familiar? There's the reference to the gospel. "Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The rugged land shall be made a plain, the rough country a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." See, now this, for all of us, we can look at this reading and recognize the fact that he's coming. He's coming. He's prepared to live more deeply, or to be more present. You know, I'm trying to look for the right words. It's hard to really describe this. We can allow Jesus to come more deeply into our hearts and work in our lives, or we can shut the door and not welcome him. You know, that's really the decision is up to us. He doesn't force his way into any of our lives. And we all have to make that decision. So during Advent, we're called to really pray, read scripture, and look at ways that we can make room for him. Because we do crowd him out with other things. Make room for him and make changes in our lives. So what? So that we can welcome him and let him work. Let Jesus work in our lives. The reading continues. "Go up onto a high mountain, Zion. Herald of glad tidings, cry out at the top of your voice. Jerusalem, herald of good news, fear not to cry out and say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Here comes with power the Lord God, who rules by his strong arm. Here is his reward with him, his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he feeds his flock. In his arms, he gathers the lambs, carrying them in his bosom and leading the ewes with care." Remember, you and I are reading this. We know that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. So we kind of take some of this for granted. But in the time of the prophet Isaiah, the people were waiting and waiting and waiting for the long-awaited Messiah to come and save them, to come and redeem them. You know, so in a sense, we living in the year 2020, we're waiting for Jesus, too, to come more deeply into our lives, even though he was born 2,000 years ago, it's all in the present now, to come more deeply into our lives and save us, to save us from sin, to save us from anxiety. He wants to do all that, but it's up to us to really make the preparations so that we can welcome him. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 85, Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God proclaims, the Lord, for he proclaims peace to his people. Near indeed is his salvation to those who fear him, glory dwelling in our land. Kindness and truth shall meet, justice and peace shall kiss. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and justice shall look down from heaven. The Lord himself will give his benefits. Our land shall yield its increase. Justice shall walk before him and prepare the way of his steps. And see, we see that word prepare again, that idea of preparing and waiting. But we don't want to just sit by idly and do nothing. You know, it's not a matter of waiting for a bus. I grew up in Philadelphia, and we took a lot of buses. When I was young, we took a lot of buses to go to work, to go to school. I was always on a bus, it seemed like. And what you do is you spend a lot of time waiting for the bus to get there, but you're not really preparing. You know, you're just sitting there waiting. Or maybe you're in a doctor's office. You wait. But this kind of waiting during Advent, it's not just plain old waiting. It's preparing while you wait. It's an active waiting, anticipating the fact that I know Jesus is coming, and I want to make the most of his visit when he comes to me on Christmas Day. So I'm going to really do all I can to prepare. And that's what John the Baptist cries out to all of us today. Prepare. Prepare the way. He's coming. No doubt about it. He's coming. Get ready. The second reading comes from the second letter of St. Peter, chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. Boy, I got to stop right there. Isn't that's a great verse. When you are waiting for something, when you're waiting for the Lord to answer an intention, or, you know, place yourself back in the days of the Old Testament when the people were waiting on the Messiah, it seems like forever, or that wait seems to go on forever. But with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. I know it's frustrating, but with him, he doesn't have that sense of urgency, or he's got his own timetable. He can wait. He's not going to come any sooner or answer your prayer request any sooner just because you're complaining to him. He's going to do it at the right time. He's never early. He's never late. He's right on time. And I know that fact drives a lot of us crazy, but it's important to consider that. We can't force him to act more quickly than he wants to. We can't speed him up. You know, this whole Messiah thing, you would think that as urgent as it was, it wouldn't have taken thousands and thousands of years for Jesus to come to earth and then be born as an infant and have to grow up before he could begin his public ministry. But see, God's ways are not our ways. I think there's a lesson there for us. He knows what he's doing. You can't rush him. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some regard delay, but he is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish and that all should come to repentance. Now, that's a good take on this time thing. Sometimes, you know, we complain about the Lord's not acting fast enough, but he is so patient with us. We don't like to wait on him, but he waits for us, right? How many times do we ignore him? I can't tell you how many Advents I've wasted in the past, how lukewarm I was for so many years, even though he's reaching out to me constantly, Gary, come to me, let me in your life, and I ignored him. But he patiently kept waiting and kept calling out to me. He's really patient with us. Don't you think we should be as patient with him? And look, I'm not saying I'm good at that. I'm just saying that really looking at this reading, that's what I'm getting from this. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a mighty roar, and the elements will be dissolved by fire, and the earth and everything done on it will be found out. Now, that reminder of Jesus is coming again one day. He was born 2,000 years ago. He will come in glory again one day. And we're also going to encounter him when we die. So that's the whole reason for the stay awake, be ready message that we heard last week. Right? Because we don't know. And we know that Christmas is approaching on December the 25th. But am I going to be here for Christmas? I don't know. Here I go again talking about that, right? But it's something that we got to address. We have to really think about that. Today's all I got. You and me, we are alive right now. Let's do what we can to prepare. St. Peter goes on to say, since everything is to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be? Conducting yourselves in holiness and devotion, waiting, there's that word again, for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved in flames and the elements melted by fire. But according to his promise, we await new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you await these things, be eager to be found without spot or blemish before him at peace. So in other words, boy, you get that? You see how these all tie in together? Be eager to be found without spot or blemish. In other words, clean up the problems in your life during the Advent season, the things that are keeping Jesus crowded out of your life, so that you can be found without spot or blemish before him at peace. When you do that, when you go to confession, even though it's been a long time, you know, this Advent, what a great time to do it. When you go to confession, when you begin praying more, when you begin to read the Bible more, maybe you've been away from church for a while and you're able to go back now. You know, with this pandemic, it's a little tricky. If you're not well, you certainly don't want to put your life and the lives of others in danger. And there is in many dioceses, there is a dispensation right now. We don't abuse it, but, you know, certainly if you're not healthy, there's nothing wrong in doing that. But the fact of the point of the matter is this: as we prepare, as we repent, as we start to clean up the problem areas in our spiritual lives, we are going to be at peace, because a lot of times that's what's causing us to not be at peace. So as we bring this to a close, as the program comes to a close, get ready. He's coming. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare. Do your best today to prepare for the coming of Jesus more deeply into your life. And if the Lord gives you another day, then work on it again tomorrow. And really, that's the way we want to do this. We want to take each day as if it's the only day we're going to have, because then and only then do we maximize the time that God's given us. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me on the program today. If you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Again, if you're able to support my work by making a donation or by becoming a monthly sponsor, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. I'd be very grateful if I can get a few more monthly sponsors. And as I said before, you can do it for $10 a month if you want. I think that equates to 33 cents per day. And you can cancel at any time. PayPal lets you just cancel it. Even after 1 month, you can cancel it if you decide you're unable to do that. Having these monthly sponsorships, though, really helps me to be able to budget and to plan. So if you're able to do it and you benefit from my work and you'd like to donate, I would be very appreciative. All you do is go to followingthetruth.com and click on donate to make that happen. Listen, pardon me. I'm getting choked up here. I'm going to be praying for you. Please pray for me as well as we go through the Advent season. Don't forget to sign up for my daily email devotional so we can go through this together. Also, my daily podcast, I'm going to be talking about Advent on that as well. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go for all of that information. You know what? I look forward to joining you once again next week on Following the Truth as we look at the Mass readings for the third Sunday of Advent. Have a great week. Prepare the Lord's coming. God bless you.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.